Is this thing live? Yeah, we're going.
Boom.
This is the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Jeremy here hanging out with Chris as almost always. We are not recording live. We had some issues on my end because my computer is awesome. But thanks to Google, we're good to go. And we're talking, like Chris likes to say, we're talking hoops finally. Finally hoops.
Yay!
I know it's your favorite sport ever, correct? Basketball?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No, but we are just it's almost March, and so we need to – everybody wants to know about basketball, what's going on. I think we watch just enough to know what's going on, so we can say we kind of know what we're doing here. We are going to talk about New Mexico's somewhat of an upset win. Is that correct?
I would say that the Lobos – expected to win in their own home, but it's always nice to get a good win over a top 10 team. So, yeah, upset loosely.
And for those who don't know, that is our guest, Mark A. Cox, who jumped in right away. That's fine. No worries.
No, that's, you know what? It's better that way.
We want to keep some mystique and mystery and surprise people. Who's this third person?
Yeah. We're having different interviews every single week, but we don't say anything. People are going to be surprised. And yeah, then we'll get, like, Tom Hanks to come on the show.
Sure. That's the first guy you thought of?
Yes.
No, apparently so. Did you watch The Last Samurai recently or something, or Oblivion?
Tom Hanks, not Tom Cruise.
Oh, wait. Okay. Sorry. I will shut up. Let's get back to sports. New Mexico won. Good work. Okay, but we have Mark here who just does a lot of stuff for us about New Mexico, so... I know the Lobos were a slight favorite, which I'm not surprised. The Pitt's tough to play at. San Diego State's good. New Mexico should be better, in my opinion. So what was it? How did they shut them down? They held them to 44 points. They took about 60-something shots for San Diego State. What did they do exactly to just slow down Xavier Thames and everybody else?
You know, I think Coach Craig Neal had a really good game plan drawn up, and that was to play slightly off the ball and give – Thames and the other shooters a little bit of room inside the three-point line, but not in the paint. So I think that it really forced San Diego State to take a lot of long twos.
Was there also I saw bits and pieces doing things. I assume there wasn't there a lot of dunks in this game, if I recall?
There were a lot of dunks by by Bairstow, if I recall correctly. But
yeah, because I remember watching that Wyoming game, and they were playing the LA defense. Go by and do what you want, no matter what. Larry Nance, everybody there. Something jump with their interior defense for the Aztecs. It seems odd against teams who want to attack them. They don't defend it very well.
Yeah, it's true. Wyoming pretty much destroyed New Mexico on that baseline cut, but it did seem that was something that Neal wanted to focus on, and I saw Bairstow and Kirk step down and put their foot on the baseline a lot more often than I had.
So, I will let Chris, I'll let you interject since I haven't typed quickly enough. What do you got next?
Well, one of the things that seems to be back to New Mexico just raising up again, and you mentioned this in your article, is how the players are absolutely working together. It seemed like at the start of the season, you know, you had Bairstow and you had Williams, and, you know, they worked together last year, but outside of that, oh, and Alex Kirk as well, but outside of that, you know, the rest of the team is fairly new or hadn't been working together at all. So you touched on developing team chemistry. And is that, first of all, this is going to go back to last year's NCAA tournament. Is that what led to a downfall in the game against Harvard last year? And is that kind of what has brought them together this year, maybe to be much more successful than people have expected, especially after San Diego State just took the seed?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think that the disappointment with Harvard is as bad as it was, as devastating as it was for the Lobos and the fans. I think it was a growing experience for those who stuck around. And in that game against Harvard, there was, I think, a little too much expectation on New Mexico, and they tend to do a little bit better when they're under the radar. And
they were. Well, I was at that game. They were a freaking 2 seed. You can't let that happen. I was there watching them play, getting lit up by Harvard. I get your point, but come on, they're a 2 seed. You got to win.
But it's Harvard, because Boston sports are best ever.
It's true, and I'll say it was a 3 seed.
Oh, sorry, 3 seed. I'm my apologies.
But no excuse, nonetheless. And I would also say that Harvard was a little underseeded. I think that was a much higher quality team than people expected.
Yeah, I think it was, but I just still it's like, come on. But I get their point. So I don't. They're finally ranked. I thought they should have been ranked a while ago. I guess they because they've had a good non-conference. They've beat some good teams non-conference. They're going to be ranked. They're going to be. I think they could be. Well, first of all, I think when they play at San Diego State, they're not going to win because it'll be similar to playing at the Pit. It'll be San Diego State's just so good at home. I'm thinking New Mexico, if they get like a 6 seed, perhaps, which is a possibility, they could go a couple rounds. Maybe they haven't been the second weekend ever, but where would you put the sweet spot for them being a good seed to maybe move beyond to that second round, second weekend? I know it's high expectations, but I think they're good enough.
Well,
to
I'm
do
with
that.
You. Yeah, I absolutely agree. If they finish out these last three games and they win, and even if they lose in San Diego, I think they can still garner a 5, 6, or 7 seed. And I'm kind of with you on the 6 seed. I like that for them.
Yeah, I mentioned that same thing in San Diego State. If they get a 3 or 6, it's better than a 4 or 5.
Yeah, I absolutely, 100% agree.
Yeah, I just, it's one of those things, I feel it just depends on where New Mexico is going to fall. And one of the things I've been looking at is that, you know, New Mexico right now is headed to play.
They host Utah State tomorrow.
They host Utah State.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, no, I meant for the tournament. What their bracket is right now. Jerry Palm just released his next.
Oh, you mean NCAA bracket? We'll find out.
Right now, he has them as an 8 seed. Versus Kansas State.
That's about right, I think, for right now.
And I think that's it puts them in a good spot. But I also think that, you know, it's one of those things that if they get to a little bit higher seed, you know, if they I would not trust New Mexico in a 6 seed, but I think 7 seed is good for them. Because that's where kind of a weaker conference champion mid-major might go, or maybe an overachieving major conference player. I think if New Mexico can get to that seed and just stay constant, yeah, they'll lose against, you know, yeah, we think that they'll lose against San Diego State at BA House. But if they sweep them out the rest of the time, I think that UNM has built the experience from last year that they should be able to at least make it to the Sweet 16.
I mean, that's definitely the hope. Especially in Albuquerque, and I could see them if they win these next three games and make a deep run into the Mountain West Conference tournament, meaning to the championship. I think that they could get a 6 seed, and that would give them the first round against an 11 seed, and then the potential second round matchup against the 3 or 14 seed. So I like them there a lot, but they will have to play strong.
Mike, I say the same thing. The 3 because at the top, like. Just not top in the Mountain West, but the top of everywhere, the top 10 or 12. Everybody's had flaws or losses, like San Diego State lost to Wyoming, Syracuse has lost, Arizona.
Not what's interesting.
I know they're undefeated, I'm just saying. I'm just saying the teams at the top, everybody's beatable, has already lost outside Wichita State, and they're not even number one. But I saw them as well, and they upset Gonzaga. They're very good. Chris has seen them, too, out in L.A. last year. But I think if it's so convoluted, if New Mexico can get to a 6 and they're playing a 3, like the 3s right now, Iowa State, I see them a couple of times. They don't scare any team in New Mexico. They don't make anything special who they're going up against. There's San Diego State as a 3. They won't play them that early. Like Creighton, they're a good team, but you got to stop Doug McDermott. But that's why I think New Mexico can get that 6. There's so much parity at the top that's a perfect spot. Even the 7 seed, even playing the 2 seeds, man. There's so many different teams that are there that have shown that they're good or not that good that may happen. And do you think that I know I'm rambling, but do you think that international play this summer will help them possibly when they get to the tournament at all?
Oh, absolutely. And as we've seen with Fairstow, his improvement's incredible. I mean, he's doubled his scoring, and the guy's just gotten so tough, he's hard to stop. And again, with the chemistry, it was nice for the team to travel early in the summer to kind of get to know one each other, even though Cole O'Neill had a little appendicitis problem. But yeah, anything that can help them build a team, build chemistry, build confidence is going to help in the tournament. And with the front court of Kirk and Bairstow and Williams' ability to make plays, I really do think that they could take on most of the two seeds. But sometimes I see Duke and Kansas and get a little afraid, especially as we face Kansas turn of the year.
Yes. Okay, so we just got news today, and I'm not sure if you had read this yet. I'm going to go into it, and I'm ruining your fun, Jeremy.
That's fine. We're good. We've talked enough about Bush, how Barrista is going to dominate Alex.
Pretty much, right? That Coach Neal has talked with the University of Arizona, and they want to play the University of Arizona, not at Lute Olson Court, but rather in Wildcat Stadium.
I did see this, and this is really exciting. Everybody around here really hankers for an Arizona-UNM matchup. And part of that deal, and it's still early and tentative as I understand, but after the game in the football stadium, which there would be a football game later that night, there would be a game at the Pit in 2016, which is something that the Lobo fans have wanted for a long, long time.
Do you think that's feasible? That's 6 hours in between. Well, actually, maybe 3 hours or so. Game ends at 3:30-ish. Game starts at 7.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm sure they'll get the logistics figured out if I'll go ahead
and give an example. The time that it takes for Staples Center to switch from basketball court to ice court, or vice versa, it takes them about an hour and a half.
Okay. Are they going to have that crew in Tucson to do that then?
Let's hope U of A's engineers are, you know, can master that.
Yeah, they say it's like I read Coach Neal's like it may or may it's still very early, because I would like to see that be a game played every couple of years. They're close to each other. They're very good. That'd be awesome to play every so often.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If we have some competitive West games, just some marquee rivalries a little more often, I think it draws more attention and it's good for Pac-12 and the Mountain West.
And then what about, I read something that he doesn't want to play UTEP anymore?
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible.
I was about to say, I don't understand that, but, you know, that's Coach Neal's decision, but I think UTEP's a good team and a good program.
Yeah, they're pretty solid. I think rival forever.
Yeah. That was a whole falling out with Steve Alford, is what I understood. So maybe Neil's just kind of staying loyal to his old buddy.
But then he said about not playing UCLA.
I saw that too. I don't know.
I think, you know what, I think New Mexico should play UCLA just if New Mexico beats Alford. Just for the spite. Like, I feel that, I don't know how much animosity there is amongst Lobo fans. Mark, you can tell us more about this. But I feel that there's a real hatred for Alford to go to UCLA, for leaving New Mexico to go to UCLA.
Well, you know, it's more like the last thing you want to hear from your parents. It's not anger, you're just disappointed. I think a lot of people thought he was here for the long haul, and we wanted to have him around. We gave him more money than we can afford, frankly. And, you know, he still went for the big lights. But I think anybody who knows college basketball doesn't blame him. Most people would have done the same thing.
I get your point, it does. I think what they're actually referring to is that they each have their own kid on the team. That's what I thought reading through from Twitter, because the coaching show is going on right now. They know, because each have their own kid on the same team, right?
Yeah, yeah. That would be an interesting dynamic. Father and son versus father and son.
That would be crazy, but... So let's kind of wrap up this portion here. Why do you think... Well, your article that you wrote touches on it quite a bit, saying about how they came together, how they're finally gelling. Even though they brought back most everybody outside Tony Snell, which seemed kind of odd to me, or at least why they struggled, but Boise State lost a couple things here and there. So what are your ultimate expectations for the Mountain West Tournament and beyond?
Well, I really think that UNM needs to win these next three games. It's Utah State, Nevada, then Air Force, and then the big matchup in San Diego State. And if they somehow won that, I think it would just exceed everybody's expectations and really put them in a good position for succeeding. And as far as Mountain West Conference Tournament, I think that we expect to go to the championship. What happens there, it's a coin toss, especially in Vegas, especially if UNLV's in there. And beyond that, I really just have to remain cautiously optimistic as Lobo fans have grown to become and expect. If they get a good seed and they get a good matchup, we really have our fingers crossed they can make the Sweet 16 for the first time ever.
Ever.
Excellent. But that chemistry is going to have to keep on building, and that defense is going to have to stay tough.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, my question now is, if you read the email that Jeremy sent out last week, and this isn't exactly, this is kind of sort of private conversation, folks, but I'm going to podcast it anyway. I'm in charge, apparently, of writing a new early football, college football breakdown for New Mexico.
Yeah, you said I gave you that responsibility. Just a schedule breakdown. Come on.
Just a schedule breakdown. So, I'm going to go ahead and take a look at college football schedules right now.
Well, first off, Mark, do you like New Mexico football? Let me rephrase that. Do you follow it at all, or do you care what happens?
I don't follow it closely. I do care what happens, but I gotta say, I probably can't contribute a lot to that conversation.
Oh, no worries. Okay.
That's okay. So.
Then you're a perfect person to tell us what's gonna happen.
Exactly, because you're probably more accurate than we will be.
They'll win 30% of the games and build hope up just enough.
Yes.
Football Bob. And I'll tell you that UTEP game ain't going anywhere too much. Their first game is against UTEP.
For football, though.
For football. Yeah. I'm looking real quick. So.
I guess Chris is going to ask you a football question.
I'm going to ask you a football question.
And please, I'll do my best.
It's going to have nothing to do. Well, it totally will have to do with the schedules. But because this is kind of a topic of interest, we all know that New Mexico's main rival for all sports is New Mexico State.
Correct.
If you had, we've seen a lot of hatred between San Diego State. We've seen a lot of bad blood between San Diego State and New Mexico on the courts. What about football? Is there a football team that really New Mexico fans have just an absolute pure hatred for?
I gotta say, it probably is New Mexico State University. And in a sad way, it's because they're kind of at our level. And so, we think we could beat them more often than not, being the kind of the flagship university of the state. So, yeah, I would say that NMSU is the football rival, and SDSU is the basketball rival this year.
So,
there you go.
Basically, Jalapeno Aggie is your main rival.
That's right.
Excellent. All right, we will end this portion on that football question there. And Mark, definitely, thanks for hopping on. We had some issues tonight for joining us, and your articles are blowing up, especially currently at the moment. And he is on Twitter. Let's get him more than 25 followers right now.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And his Twitter name, and if you misspell it, you might get somebody from Egypt. So I'll spell it as well to say it. Because I apparently can't hear a spell, but it's Max Legend 2, MACS Legend 2. So give him a follow. I will monitor this over the week, so we better get double the followers in 2 days.
Well, Chris, Jeremy, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man. Keep up the good work. Talk to you again later.
Talk to you soon.
See ya. So anyway.
There we go. Wait.
So what else are we talking about tonight?
I don't know. Talked about some hoops. That was awesome.
That was.
Good content there for Lobos. I am surprised that they haven't played as well because they only lost one starter in Tony Snell. They, bring four back. Two guys playing university games. One on the trip overseas. figured they would be much better than what they have been. Not that they're bad, but they're finally ranked.
Exactly. Exactly. And the question now is, how high? Will New Mexico basically keep on rising while San Diego State just keeps on just dropping?
Well, why would the Aztecs drop?
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, you've lost to Wyoming on the road. You've lost to New Mexico on the road.
Well, they're ranked 13th right now, I believe.
They've got four games, and who knows how this is going to end.
I don't know. You'll see more of it in Vegas than me, since apparently I cannot go anymore. Sorry to leave you hanging there.
Yeah.
New job and all that kind of gets in the way of going down there. But let's move on. Football. We're here to talk about football now.
Football? Or do we want to talk about the other awesome game this weekend?
What was that? Go ahead. I've spaced it. Go for it.
Oh, Boise State UNLV?
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, I did want to mention that. So, hold on. Apparently, I have a public event and invited 131 people to our podcast. I don't know what I did. I'm sorry. I got an email about people saying no to this thing. Whatever. Sorry. So, did you get a chance to see at least? I know you don't see CBS Sports. Did you see the highlights of how the game finished?
I saw the highlights, and absolutely great call by the referees. Now, I'm saying that as a Boise State fan, obviously.
It was the right call.
Even when it was photo finish, it was still a good call. And that's what you have to do to basically, that's one of those indisputable evidence things. And, unfortunately for UNLV, unfortunately for Boise State, the evidence was indisputable.
It was. So what was your reaction? I saw people saying that because Leon Rice celebrated the way he did.
I don't know. I know UNLV, the Rebellion, their student section basically congratulated Rice on being the classless coach that he is and everything like that. But it's funny because the Boise State players got a hold of that tweet and favorited it. So obviously it didn't bother them too much. I had absolutely no qualms with how Rice reacted. He basically showed his excitement. You just beat a big team at home. And, he had to get all that energy out. And then
it's on a close call. It's not like it's like a...
You're
waiting to know what happened.
No, exactly. And then after he got all the energy out, he went and, shook hands and embraced, the other coach, Rice. And, shook all the hands of the players. So, yeah, whatever celebration, everything like that, he still did the right thing in, congratulating the players on a hard game. Because
Dave Rice would have done the same thing. He would have been excited. You know what I mean?
Oh, he would have been excited. I don't know if he would have reacted the same way as Rice did.
But it should have been some sort of excitement.
As Anthony, our Fresno State guy, and I basically debated on Twitter whose reaction was better, Rice's or Terry's, when the Fresno State...
Oh, the windmill. He's swinging his arms halfway down the court.
They're pretty close. Anthony thinks that the windmill was better. I still think that the Rice was better, but both of us agree that Club America's Miguel Herrera's celebration is still the best.
Exactly. And I just see some one thing that kind of makes it stand out, there's some photos where you see Rice sitting there, or excuse me, Dave Rice in the background waiting. Do you see Leon Rice, photo of celebrating.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it was a great game, it was a good win. Boise State needs to get these wins. If they're going to have any chance to go to the NCAA tournament, which probably means winning the Mountain West, they're not going to make it. So they need this win to get a better seeding, avoid UNLV as far as they can in the tournament because it's on their home court. They just got to keep winning and get that third seed.
It really is one of those things that, Boise State, remember, if we go back 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, Boise State was winning against UNLV on UNLV's home court. They just did their typical 5-minute, 10-minute burnout, of which they can't score any points at all, and that's how UNLV won. I think if the rematch is played in the Mountain West tournament, I don't know how that's going to end up. But
close.
I would say that while UNLV does have home team advantage and everything like that, I think the Boise State fans are going to bring a large contingency for the tournament. I also believe that the game I would give a 51-49 edge to UNLV right now.
That's well, that game at Vegas was a 4-point win. Obviously, if home court because it's a regular season game. But then you have the postseason tournament there. There's a lot of Vegas fans, more Boise fans than normal. A sprinkling of whatever other fans are hanging around from the game before or after. And it neutralizes the home court a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
But so, it's a great finish. I still think they're NIT unless they win the tournament.
Absolutely.
Right, I assume for you this is an underachieving season by quite a bit.
You know, as a Boise State fan, I know we are supposed to have high expectations of 21 seasons every single year and everything like that. I'm just happy to be, you know, a very good team, and a team which still has a lot of potential.
I just think, kind of looking at their schedule a bit, yeah, their non-conference is fairly soft. They didn't play all the Wolvers, Kentucky. But then here's, like, the losses they have. Iowa State, a top-ranked team, at New Mexico. Okay, the only bad losses you can see is that buzzer beater loss to Wyoming. Was it Larry Nance who hit that buzzer beater?
Yeah.
At home.
But once again, Wyoming beat San Diego State as well. So
yeah, but what I'm
is
saying
it really home, a bad loss?
Well, I'm saying at home against a Wyoming team that's okay. And that's about it. You lose at UNLV, at Utah State, not a bad loss because it's playing at the Spectrum's tough. But talent-wise, Boise State should win that game.
Yeah.
I just like to finish the game. That was a pretty amazing because the way it ended up in regulation and overtime. Whew.
No, absolutely.
All right, do you have any more hoops talk we need to discuss?
Well, I'll tell you it after the podcast.
Oh, so off air?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that later. So football, combine or schedule? You pick.
Combine.
Combine. Have you been watching the combine?
Absolutely not.
Do you know what's going on?
I do.
What are you going to say about it?
The only thing I'm going to say is, first of all, the Adam Loema decision puzzles.
Oh, me. I completely forgot about that. How could I forget about that? That's really interesting.
You know, say what you will about a person's, you know, decisions based off religion and everything like that. You have every right to respect that. I just think that I'm not sure if he's completely thought this all the way through. Normally, and this is going to go on, you know, a religious thing, and we keep it very respectful here.
Yeah.
You know, normally when somebody has a calling or a thing like that, it's while it's passionate, while it's heartfelt, it still takes time to develop. So who knows how long that Moema had basically been really, you know, thinking about this before the combine.
Well, we know his Twitter feed and Instagram are full of stuff from scripture, from, I'm assuming, the Bible, things like that. So we know there's that. It just seems odd where, okay, he's like, he gets communication through numbers. Okay, whatever. That's whatever he's feeling, that's perfectly fine. But then he says he's going to be drafted by the Seahawks. That's why he leaves. It's like,
but it's
pretty good players. Marshawn Lynch, Robert Turbin, Utah State guy, Turbin, Robert Turbin.
Yeah, Robert
Turbin. Have, I can't think of the other third guy who was a rookie. They just drafted last year with their first pick. So if you go on that route, it's like, what are you thinking, man? The Seahawks aren't going to take you. They already have two really good running backs and one they really, really like that they picked first last year. Getting up and leaving, yeah, if you think you're going to Seattle, that's fine, think it. But you're ruining your chances because just by leaving, he's going to do his pro day workout and everything, but just get up and leave and not work out.
We'll see.
The question is thinking of this.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that whole thing was in question. The whole thing was just strange. But once again, we don't know what's going on with him. We don't know the full story about everything. And anything with religion is very tricky, and we have to respect that.
Yeah. I still think it's a, he can do what he wants and believe what he wants, but it's going to hurt his draft stock no matter what.
I think so.
So if you look at that end, why leave? It's the biggest job interview, essentially, you're ever going to have with the most money so quickly. Why would, and you're not, you weren't even a sure thing anyways, leaving a year early. But now, you're already a fringe, not a fringe, but probably a late round guy at best. Now it's like, why would you go? It's, you're not committed to football, you just leave. What's going to say, like the guy from the 49ers brought up, the guy Glenn Coffey, he's ended up, I'm just going to leave and quit, just leave the 49ers to become a pastor or something. You got arrested
for more, there's more to that. There's more to that Coffey story than there
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but I mean, that's,
I know exactly what you're saying. But he hasn't, but this is, once again, he hasn't even gotten to the NFL yet.
Correct.
And I think that's what's different, and I think it's the kind of thing that just, I think at the media, I think we just kind of need to lay off a little bit. We can have all the questions, everything like that, but remember that, and this guy is, what, 22 years old, 23 years old?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still got a long journey ahead of him.
Sure, but there still has to be somebody there to his agent or somebody to tell him, like, hey, that's fine.
Does
if you think
he even
this.
Have an agent?
Yes, he does. He has an agent. He guaranteed he does. But I'm sure they convince him, like, they're not going to say, okay, just leave just because you feel this particular way. From whatever he said, he received a message from God and all that stuff from what we've written about, from what he said, like, just go rest, be at peace or something, and then deal with it later.
Right.
And he's already a 57th round pick. I get what you're saying. There's going to be questions about why'd you leave, and people are going to want, especially NFL guys, more of an answer than God told me to go in my religious belief from some sort of sensing or communication that I should go and leave Indianapolis.
Right, exactly. And so, I don't know. I don't have too much more to say about this. The decision's strange.
He's not getting drafted. I'm telling you that. He's not going to get drafted now. I can almost guarantee it. He'll get on a team as a free agent, but I don't see him being drafted.
Yeah.
So, not that that's a reach anyways, but almost for sure. Unless he blows something out, like just an amazing thing at the pro day next month, but that's about it. Another guy who's kind of doing the other end, our favorite running back out of Colorado State, is apparently pretty strong. Number three in bench pressing 225 pounds at 24 times, Capri Bibbs.
Yes. But still affects me that he's not going to hang around next year, but
yeah,
this is a good chance. Right now, based off Bibbs' strength that he's shown, based off the speed that he's shown, and I'm just looking at, you know, stats right now, I think that he's going to be a good late-round pick.
He's going to be a steal. Like, there's guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's going to be a late-round pick. He's going to be a steal, and I think whoever picks him up is going to make good use of him.
Because I was talking to the guy from, I forget his name, but he does the Jacksonville Jaguars website and some NFL stuff, and we were chatting a little bit, like, he's going to be a huge steal. The only issue they say is his hands are a little bit smaller, so I fumbled a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, he's going to be a steal someone, because he's kind of built like, maybe he's watched him more, he's kind of built like Maurice Jones-Drew, 5'9", 212. He's quick out of the line, he knows where he's going, he has good vision, and look what he did after a couple games where he finally got the start. After playing junior college, stepping up to CSU, big jump, JUCO to FBS, even not the highest FBS level, but he 31 touchdowns, you can't argue with that. Only four players ever have had that.
No, exactly, and especially what he did after the fifth game. So
yeah, I guess the only issue is, like, he didn't catch the ball too much because you got to do a lot of different things. But positive, he's barely played. So he's not, like, going to be this guy who's had three straight years of getting 20 carries a game, 250 right. carries a season. I don't know where he'll be taken, but I could see – I think he'll go fourth or fifth round, but I don't think he's ran. Yeah, he went a 4.67, which is okay. But for the strength of what he put up, he's going to be a guy. He came in and can block okay already. He just finds ways to get yards, and he has breakaway speed. It seemed like after he gets going, he's hard to take down.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly what I think when we're both talking about where, say, he's going to be a steal.
But yeah, even right now, looking at NFL NFL.com, they have like a little draft grade. They stick him at, I think this is a little bit low. Like they go at 4.5 to 10 ranking. They put him at 5.05, which is a hair above better than average chance to make a roster. I would assume he'd at least be a bit higher. Like the way the ranking goes, next up is backup, special teams potential. I assume he should be rated in that area somewhat. I don't know when this was done, but I think he should be a little bit higher. And I think we both agree, whatever team he's on.
Keep him low. Keep him as a steal so we could be like, we told you so.
I'm just saying. But you know what I mean? That's, in my opinion, where he should be at. And he blew up. Think of it, barely a season and playing as well as he did. Not many players do that. And then we all heard about Derek Carr not throwing at the combine. Do you have an issue with him not throwing?
Nope.
Does it matter?
Basically workout.
Just a workout. Okay, where do you think he's going to go? Because mock drafts are all over the place. Some say top 10. Some say second round.
You know, I couldn't tell you. I think he's going to be a late first round pick. But I couldn't tell you where he's going to go.
I don't know. I can see like the Browns, the Vikings needed him, but they all have so early picks. I even saw the
Lord help him if he goes to the Browns.
No kidding. I don't know. Minnesota would be really good because you have Adrian Peterson there. He's easy guy to handle. The offensive line is okay, and they have a mess at quarterback. Jacksonville desperately needs one, but they need a lot of positions. Cleveland, I don't know. If he goes legs, I got the draft order here. Who would really take it? Cincinnati, maybe at 24 if they don't like Andy Dalton anymore.
Right.
Cleveland's at 26, man. I don't know. I think we're throwing it to combine. Not a big deal, because why throw to a guy? I heard the argument say, well, there's so many great receivers. Why not throw to them? You still don't know their tendencies, how well they are. You can look bad if they have a bad day.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm looking at – and then the other guy I mentioned is Davante Adams. He – holy crap. I just looked up just now. His vertical leap, 39.5 inches.
I'm trying – that's over 3 feet high.
Three feet, three inches. Number three. He tied for number three. I'm telling you, I don't know. Who would you think out of this draft class? There are so many good offensive players. We're not even looking at Tyler Lott, the center from Utah State, is moving up. The defensive back from Utah State, Nevin Lawson's moving up pretty good. Tyler Larson, and then you got Weston Richburg for Colorado State. If we have to guess now, who do you think will be the best player out of this draft from the league in a couple years?
Like overall?
Yeah, who do you think is going to be the best pro in 5 years?
You know, I'm. This is going to sound extremely stereotypical.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
No, I'm going to go ahead and say the Clowney.
No, I mean, no, not overall.
Oh, overall.
Not in the West. I get Jamie Clowney's crazy, and I hope it goes to my Texans. But within our
overall, you know, overall, I'm going to go ahead and say Bibbs.
Capri Bibbs, well.
Yeah.
Because
the reason why I say this is if he gets the chance, he's going to shine.
You know where he can get a really good chance and probably be really good early? He can go to the Texans. I joke because they're the team I follow outside of the Cowboys, but Texans are probably losing. Well, Ben Tate's probably not going to come back. They're going to be losing their starters. They like to rotate running backs in right away. I know it's a new head coach there, but that could be a good spot to go. If he goes to Minnesota, if he goes to Jacksonville maybe, that's a possibility. He's running back, so you get a lot of chances, even if you're undrafted, guys like Ben Tate was.
No, exactly.
I'm wondering, I like Davante Adams so much for what he does. I want to say he could be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Adams.
Shaquille Barrett could be there too. He's so good, strong defensively, linebacker spot.
Where is he projected to go right now?
I don't know. Oh, look, he's not even. He didn't even get a combine invite, which is odd. But I don't think. Was there anything else about the combine you want to discuss?
No.
No.
The combine, honestly, draft is fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. Combine is a little bit less fun.
Yeah, there's. I just wanted to point out a couple of things, a couple of numbers. I saw Barrett, or not Barrett, sorry, thinking, looking him up right now. Bibbs did good, bench press, Devonta Adams, and Derek Carr not throwing. So let's go to this early schedule. I assume you already marked in pen your order of finish and record, right?
Yes.
Of course, everybody does that. Did you get a kind of chance to glance over it a bit, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been... the format that they came out on our schedule was a little hectic, so I decided to look at the regular.
I know, that's the best one I can make it look nice. I know what you mean.
So...
Did you take a look at what Fresno State has to offer?
I'm sorry, Fresno State. You know, I still...
0-4?
Yeah, I don't think Fresno State fans are going to get mad at me. I really don't think Fresno State has a chance right now to get to win the Mountain West.
Look who they lost. New quarterback. They're gonna have, it could be Zach Greenland. They're losing losing Devonta Adams.
Top wide receiver.
And Isaiah Bruce, did he graduate as well?
Yes.
They're losing him. They're losing. They still have Daron Smith on defense, but this is where we're going to see Dave Schrader and Tim Ruder really shine, because here's just really quick who they open up with. Rematch versus USC. At Utah, I think the Utah game is winnable because their quarterback situation's up in the air quite a bit. Their offense has been good. People are saying they could beat Nebraska, but I don't really see that being a possibility, even without Taylor Martinez as a quarterback. Southern Utah, whatever, they'll win. Then they go in New Mexico, they should win. But then after that, they host San Diego State. They go to UNLV. They go to Boise State. It's a tough schedule, man. Their first four of their six games are on the road, if I'm correct on that. Because they only host Nebraska and Southern Utah.
Yeah, so
it's San Diego State's home. But it's a tough schedule. Once they get a non-conference, New Mexico's a reasonably difficult team running the ball. San Diego State, it's tough, man. I don't know. Plus all these road games, man.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this. Right now.
Say it. Go for it. Say it.
Go. Say it. I'm gonna go ahead. I keep on using that phrase. I think, just initially looking at the schedule, initially like how everything sets up, I think San Diego State's going to win the West.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will come down to the Utah State, Boise State.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, Chucky Keaton returns.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he stays healthy, you could do no wrong. And Boise
their State. Don't forget their defense is bringing back most everybody. They do lose Evan Lawson, but they bring back a lot of guys on defense.
The Utah State defense shouldn't even have to talk about the Utah State defense. They're just.
People may not know. We got to inform people here. Just because you and me know, okay, yeah, their defense is good. People need to know.
Yeah, and I think Boise State's schedule just sets up really well. And Harsin, everything appears like Harsin's trying to go back to the old offense, which does not bode well for anybody else's defense.
Correct. I heard people talking about it. I was like, well, he hasn't had the head coach experience. He's just kind of held over. I listened to guys from CBS Sports like Jim Patterson and I think Tom Fornelli. Like, well, he hasn't been a head coach long enough. He kind of held over Gus Malzahn to Arkansas State. He did okay at Texas, but Texas was a mess anyways. With Mac Brown changed the offense every couple years. He was a co-offensive coordinator, made Applewhite. I don't even know what all his duties were really there in Austin. But if you can get Arkansas State a conference title, and they had a coach, I think he was their fourth coach in 4 years, they now have their fifth coach in fifth year, that says something about what you can do.
Exactly. That's not saying something to Arkansas State's talent. That's saying something to every single coach after the first coach.
Yeah, there is some talent there, but yeah, it does take coaching to do that. New system, new scheme, players got to be smart, but you also have to realize they're learning new stuff as well. But it's a good thing. If you go in year one and win a conference title, I don't care where you're at, that's a good deal.
Right.
So, I think if you say it, because in the West, if you look at the West, not even looking at the schedule, but even though that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, San Jose State, we already talked with Jimmy Durkin, their new quarterback, new receivers, new tight end, losing defense. They're going to be – I put them like at 4 wins maybe. Hawaii, no.
I think Hawaii can get 3 wins this year.
I'm talking about challenging for the title. Like,
oh, okay.
New Mexico, no. Do you think Nevada? Maybe. Is Nevada the biggest threat to San Diego State?
Yeah.
Maybe UNLV, but they have a new quarterback, and they lose Tim Cornette as well, running back. I don't know.
Could a Nevada school challenge for the title?
A Nevada school, not just – can we just combine the two schools and see what they do?
Well, you know, between the two of them, they might pull out 8 wins. I'm sorry, that was cruel of me. I shouldn't have joked about that.
But their schedule sets up nice. They host Boise in conference schedule. They go to San Jose State, not terribly difficult. They host Nevada – they host Boise State, host Colorado State, who's – They'll be better, I think. I think they could be a dark horse in the Mountain Division. But then they go to Hawaii, which will be very difficult. They go to UNLV. They host Fresno. They're not – their schedule – they host San Diego State. Their schedule plays up nice for who they're hosting in the league.
Yeah, I just
– And are you – okay, sorry. Do you agree or just – is that perfectly rational? I really like
Cody. That's totally irrational. Even with the new defense being set in, I feel that there's still too many questions with Nevada.
Oh, that's right. They did get a defensive coordinator today as well, Scott Boone. You know what we should do? I just realized. Do you know who Utah State plays in Week 1?
Hold on. Let me see.
Do you know who likes both those Chucky Keaton and that team very well?
Who?
You don't know?
No.
Who do you keep begging me to get on the podcast with us? They have difficulties.
Holly!
Yes!
I just thought about that. Holly, we're coming.
We will see, because a plan could be to do a lot of quick shows with a lot of other non-conference folks, so... I'll reach out to her and see if we can get her on for talk about – who doesn't like to talk about Chucky Keaton or complaining about how a rule about overfeeding players with pasta is not really a rule-breaking thing, and she was very upset that it was not a rules violation. Did you happen to glance at that?
No.
Oh, you should go read over Grantland real quick about the Oklahoma pasta thing. You'll get a kick out of it, as you should. So are you excited? Okay, a couple last things to schedule because we've been going for a while. At least I think we have. So the rivalry weekend, how come the Mountain West can't get it right? They do have Utah State, Boise State, which I think – do you think that's the rival of the Mountain West out of the best two schools?
No. No, Utah State, Boise State doesn't have enough of a rivalry vibe going.
No, I mean with just in the Mountain Division, I mean.
I think they're good competitors, but I think rivalry weekend would belong to Utah State, Wyoming.
They do fight over that gun now.
Yeah, which is an awesome commodity to fight over.
Okay, let me put it this way. That potential to be a rival, I think that's a good game. They got CIC, they have Nevada, UNLV, Fremont Cannon, which Bobby Hopkins loved. That's now the final week of the season. How is Wyoming, Colorado State not the final weekend, or Hawaii, San Diego State, or Fresno, or excuse me, it should be Fresno State, San Diego State, Wyoming, Colorado State, Utah State, Boise, and UNLV, Nevada. Shouldn't that be the final weekend for the most part?
Yeah, I could see that.
They need to have the rival weekends the right weekend. Come on, CSU, Wyoming.
It looks No. November 29th, post Thanksgiving. Here.
Yeah.
Colorado State Air Force, Utah State, Boise State.
I'm reading it too. Yes, I got it.
I guess that Wyoming, New Mexico doesn't make sense. I think it should be Colorado State, New Mexico.
No, Colorado State, Wyoming, the border war.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. The bronze boot?
Okay, now I got it.
And then San Diego, Fresno, is that more of a rival than Hawaii, San Diego State? or even San Diego State, New Mexico?
Yeah, San Diego State, New Mexico, I think that's more of a basketball rivalry than anything else. Yeah. But you know what?
What am I missing?
If we could get the San Diego State, New Mexico game at the same day as somehow some screw-up in the Mountain West Conference basketball scheduling and have both of those rivalry games on the same day.
Yeah, so that could happen. It could be like the baseball. Some reason San Jose State opened up against San Diego State.
A couple weeks ago.
Not sure that happened.
No, I totally agree with you that rivalry weekend should be.
See, I'm not the only one who has trouble with that rivalry week. That's why I said the rivalry weekend.
seashell by the seashore.
Are we going to have any other? Is there anything? We've talked forever. We talked basketball. We talked schedule, early schedule. What do you, anything else you want to add on to publicly, I should say, about this? Anything?
I think we should make up new rivalries.
Such as?
That'll be saved for the next podcast, where we go through all the Mountain West teams that aren't rivals and create random rivalries out of them. Like how Seattle and San Diego have the Eddie Vedder Cup.
Ah. Wait, who's from Seattle?
Eddie Vedder.
I mean, what team? What are you referring to? Basketball Seattle University?
No. Padres Mariners.
How are we tied into this? I get what you're saying, Eddie Vedder. Yes, I get that, but
no, I'm just saying we create random rivalries out of the Mountain West teams that we have by finding one common factor and creating a rivalry out.
The most obscure factor, but does tie them together.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Hey, it's off season. We can do anything.
That's all you, man.
Damn it.
You know that is. That's your category.
I don't think it's off topic. It's totally relevant.
No, but it's fun. Yeah, it's fun. Like the what was the thing I showed you on Twitter? I hope you saved that. It was about the yes, what school BYU. You go to.
Oh no! Oh yeah. I got that.
We got some stuff.
I'll be pulling out something like that also during the off season.
All right, I think we're done here now. We've discussed enough before we just kind of stray off to the night. I don't know how long this went because we had some extra difficulties. I want to thank Mark for joining us discussing, yeah, about an hour. That's what we normally do, even though there's nothing to talk about really. Well, there was, but you know what I mean. Mexico basketball, Mark. We did get our hoops in because I know Chris loves your basketball. You will be, well, we'll discuss this later, but we have more basketball upcoming, I should say. Because I just remembered now, yes, I didn't say post-show, but check out MWCConnection.com. Check us out at MWC Connection on Twitter. Our good friend Mark, it's Max Legend 2. M-A-C-S Legend number 2. You're a Greek Padre. And check out MWC
Connection.
Yeah, that's my Twitter name there. Check us out on SoundCloud. I'll somehow get this on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes. Leave a comment in iTunes. Give us a comment. Give us a 5-star one, so I don't care. But check us out next. We'll have a show sometime next week.
1 star would listen again.
Yes. Well, yes. 1 star. Give us another chance. That's what we asked for. So I'd like to thank everybody for hanging out with us tonight, and we'll see everybody next show and have a good, fun March coming up soon.